Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, over-functioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Steve Craig from Soulmedics is an extraordinary guy. I'm pretty sure he's the number one fan of the Real Talk of Dental podcast, and I couldn't be more grateful. He's been in the dental industry in sales for close to 25 years, so he has seen a lot, especially from the sales side and the vendor side, and just seeing the shifts in the industry and how people treat their teams and the value that they actually put on their patients and where they put their priority. In this episode, we talk a lot about the changing landscape in dentistry and how really focusing on maximizing what you personally want to do with your business and your life trumps pretty much everything else. And to really stop putting all of your attention on what other people are doing and really focus on what it is that you want to do with your team, your patients, and your business. And we talk a lot about water safety, which is sort of dentistry's dirty little secret. And it's so informative and so helpful. And I really hope that this episode inspires you to take better care of your water lines, because it is a creeping liability that you have in your dental office. And it's something that you definitely want to address as soon as possible. And we talk about those fundamentals that really need to be taken care of so that you can have a awesome running business and one that is healthy for not just your patients, but also your team, who are also breathing in some of the contaminants from your water lines if they are not properly maintained. So we cover a lot. You're going to learn a ton. And I really hope that you enjoy Steve as much as I do and get to know him a little bit better, because he's just a rad dude. And he's in Chicago, which is also really fun because I also love Chicago. Steve Craig, I am so excited to have you with me today. You're a bit of an OG in the dental space, I would consider. You have been in sales in dentistry for close to 25 years, so you have seen a lot, and I'm really excited to dig into what you've seen over the last 2+ decades. A lot has changed, and also not just, you know, on the vendor side, but just what you've observed across the profession and the industry, because you've been pretty involved in it. And I also can't wait to talk to you about dirty water that is in dental offices, as you are very committed to in your position now. And I have been hearing more about the dirty water, dirty little secret in dentistry a lot this last year, with the primary focus on that, because it's something that doesn't get spoken about. And when you think about it, it's so critical as far as like the care for every patient. So I'm also excited to talk about that and bring it to people's attention, because I think this needs a whole lot more attention, especially as we're in the age of AI and high tech, and our focus is so much on like all of these bigger, better things coming into the industry that we forget about the very basic things like our water and the impact that that can have on the patient's health and care. So thank you so much for being with me today.
I appreciate you having me, Brandy. I'm willing to talk about whatever you want to ask me, but I just appreciate the opportunity to have the conversation with you. I know we've had a lot off camera. Be great to have one on camera.
I know. You're one of my newest favorite people this last year that I've had the pleasure of meeting. I see you all over LinkedIn. Always love your content. Always appreciate your position. And you always just have so much. I'm from over here anyway. You always seem to carry so much love and empathy and just this steadfastness, I would say, as far as who you are and who you've been in person, on LinkedIn, you know, on camera. All of that has been very consistent, and that's a value of mine and something that I really appreciate and respect and with people is consistency. And you've always been one of those people since I've met you. So I'm grateful for our budding friendship and relationship. So thank you.
As am I. And I think Cameron Harold, who runs the COO Network, I think he said it best. It's probably a little morbid, but I think he said it best. Like, none of us are getting out alive. At the end of the day, we're kind of all just walking each other home. So why not have a great time?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that too. I love that. I love that saying. It's very, very true. Well, let's dive in. So close to 25 years in dental sales, what have you seen as far as how do people buy? Like, what has been the biggest shift that you've seen as a vendor and seeing how people approach decisions? And what is it like now versus when you started almost 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's definitely has changed over time. I mean, I think buying is somewhat similar, but things have changed. You know, like you talked about AI, there's a lot of different things in place. You know, it's the greatest time to be in dentistry, but dentistry has changed over time. I mean, you know, a while back, money was easy, accessible. Dental practices did extremely well. You know, now times are a little tougher with the economics going on right now to get access to money, to make sure you're looking at same store sales, not just trying to band-aid offices together. So it has put a focus on not just about the EBITDA revenue that you're growing, it's also about the cost savings to make those EBITDA dollars of revenue worth more to make however you want to transition out of dentistry a better place to be. So it's put a lot more emphasis on why we do what we do. What is our mission, vision? What are we trying to accomplish with our patients? And I think we have now realized that, you know, nobody wants to be sold anything, but they love to buy. But what they really want to buy are things that are going to solve a problem, a solution they have. So I think, you know, the old way of, you know, talking about Henry Ford, you know, if I would have asked what they wanted, they would have wanted faster horses. You know, I don't think people want to be told those type of things anymore. They're looking at what would be the value of having a car? How would that change my life? What would that do for me, for my family, for my business, whatever it is? So I think that is where you've seen the change. Buyers have gotten smarter and done that. But, you know, the funny thing is, if you look at some books, and there was a book written in 1910 that said, you know, we have to change the way we do because the Sears catalog came out and the buyers are more educated than ever before. And that was in 1910. Well, look what we have at our fingertips now. So I think it just continues to evolve. And I think always the buyer, the seller, everybody has a lot more at their fingertip, has a lot more access to knowledge. And they're probably walking into the buying process a little bit differently. They know a lot more. They don't have to wait for the Sears catalog to show up to see what we should put on our Christmas list. You know, a lot of that is more accessible through the web and through different things. So it has changed dramatically, but at the same time, a lot of it's getting back to the basics on a daily basis. If you do the right things, treat people the right way, show the value of what you're doing, and at the end of the day, really solve problems that your customers have with a solution that can help them, you're going to be wildly successful.
Yeah. And I really like you said too about getting back to the fundamentals, because as you were sharing, that's what was coming up for me is having access to so much information where people can do a lot of research, you know, before they make a decision. And then also Reddit boards, social media, all of those things, word of mouth and recommendations are more accessible than ever, and reviews and all this kind of stuff is so prevalent everywhere. But then with that comes so much noise, right? And we forget the basics and the fundamentals. And just in all of our conversations and just my experience of you in general, and that's part of that consistency and steadfastness, is you're very committed to the fundamentals. You're very committed to the basics and like what got us here and like what's going to stay the course. And not to be goofy, but I mean, water is one of them, right? And patient safety and patient care too is, we can get lost in all the noise and the sexy, trendy things of dentistry. But at the end of the day, like you've said, and you've shared with me before we got started, is at the end of the day, it's all about patient care and how we're serving our patients, how we're showing up for our patients, how we're providing for our patients, and whether the patients are even an appropriate fit for our practice or not. And if they're not, ensuring that they're getting care elsewhere and really being committed to the industry of dentistry, not to all the noise that's become really mainstream when it comes to dentistry these days.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's almost, you know, in some extent, there's almost kind of two kinds of buyers now. There's the very educated buyer, but there's also the very confused buyer. Because there is so much information out there, you don't know if the information you're reading or accessing is true or not. So you do see both sides of that. But yeah, I'm a big believer in, you know, I think it, especially when you speak about whether it be a dental practice, whether it be a consultant, whether it be the vendor side, I think if you take care of your team as your number one customer, they will take care of the patients who will take care of the community that you work in. Same thing for me. If I take care of my team and I build a high-performing cohesive teams, they're going to take care of the customers, which then in turn are going to take care of the patients. So I think if everyone's kind of rowing in the same direction, that's where you see true success. And a lot of it is constantly getting back to the basics, because like I said, we do see things evolve, but at the end of the day, a lot of it's the same. We just might have more access, more capital, more information, but the basics are still what win every day. And you know, when you're building those teams, you know, you see it a lot more in sports and things now. It's you really can't have a team of all A players. They're probably not going to mix well. They're not going to be cohesive. The sports teams that win now are the ones that have outstanding B players. And I think a lot of people don't think about that. But you look at even Michael Jordan's era with the Bulls. A lot of the games were won by the B players making the last shot. It wasn't from Michael Jordan doing that. Now, granted, he got them there and did those things. And like Dennis Rodman said, Michael Jordan's such a great athlete on the offensive side. My job is to get the rebound and get the ball back to him, because I know he's probably going to make a shot 50% of the time. Well, if he misses the first one, if I get the rebound and get it back to him, we're probably going to win. And he's right. And it's the B players that got them to all those championships. Michael led the team and was the face and the voice of the team, but he wasn't the only person on the team. And it's kind of that we versus me mentality.
Yeah, I love that. And I was thinking too, just like with movies and stuff like that, right? There's always the lead actors and actresses, and the supporting cast is always what helps that lead person really shine and bring it all together. And so I really always appreciate that too. Yeah, and I love the sports analogies. And I forgot to mention, you're from Chicago, or you're in Chicago, and you've been in Chicago, you said, I think for 30, 35 years as well. So of course you're going to bring up the Bulls. That Michael Jordan documentary was incredible. So good. It brought back so many memories, because I was growing up during, you know, his heyday. And, you know, being from New York, I'm a huge Knicks fan. And so that was the era of Patrick Ewing and John Stark. And I just absolutely loved. Yeah, wasn't the OJ, when his SUV was on the chase, that was the Knicks versus the Bulls game, right?
Yep, it was right in the middle of that. That series, for sure. No, but I agree. I think the one thing that kind of showed throughout that, and I think, like I said, you see it in life, you see it in sports, is, you know, unfortunately, we're in an era of, whether it's, you know, Insta famous, fake book, people not showing and you know, what their real life is about. And people are trying to compare their average life to someone's highlight reel. And I think, you know, when you watch something like that with Michael Jordan, you do realize that there are no overnight successes. You actually get to see the work that somebody put in to get there. And there is no self-made man or woman. They had a lot of hands getting them to that point and help. And I think that's what hopefully people got out of that series, was it wasn't an overnight success and it wasn't a self-made team. They had to put a lot of work, and it was everybody from Phil Jackson to everybody that was involved in that team to get them to the point we are. And I think, you know, where sports is going now, I don't think you're going to see those dynasties anymore, because it unfortunately has turned into much more of a business. The love of the game probably isn't there as much. It's a way out. It's a way to make a lot of money. And a lot of it has turned into wanting the limelight versus the team concept and getting back to the basics.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, one of my spiritual advisors, she always says greed corrupts. And to desire money and financial success and all of that is totally cool and fine. It's what you do with it, right? That I think really leads to sort of that spiritual way of being, and the idea even of, you know, some people who have great financial success, you know, even donating a third of their earnings to charity or to groups or to mission work, like we were chatting about too, or just other organizations that could benefit from that to keep that exchange and to keep that energy flowing, because it does corrupt, you know, it corrupts how we view things, and we just continue to want more and more and more. And it really feeds that ego, which, you know, I know is a huge part of sort of American culture these days, but it sounds like you and I are a little more aligned on the spiritual path. And, you know, with that, you know, you talk a lot about patients choosing care with their feet or voting with their feet. And I like, too, how you advocate so much for team members. And what I hear you saying in that is, instead of getting so distracted by the noise and what else is out there and what, you know, Dennis number 10 up the street is doing, it's really looking at, you know, your own home, right? Like, what's under your own roof? And are you taking care of your team? Are you taking care of your patients? And are you operating in a place that really aligns with your values and who you strive to be? And to really keep the focus there, because if you continue to keep the focus there, that will lead you to true success. And that seems like that's something that really, those are values that you stand by.
Yeah, I truly believe we all need to band together in the industry to open up access to care. And there's a dental home for everybody. And that goes for the whole industry. That goes for vendors, that goes for clinicians, that goes for practice owners, that goes for the teams that work in the practice. And it, I guess one little pet peeve is I hate when people call them their staff. That's an infection. It should be more endearing. It's your team, but that also goes for the patients. And I think, you know, patients vote with their feet. They decide where they want to go to access care. And we need more of that across the board, from everything, from public health to regular private practice, DSOs. I mean, I think we need a little bit of everything so patients can see the care they need. And they're going to go where they feel valued, they feel taken care of. Once again, back to the basics. You know, if the team's happy, they're probably going to treat the patients better. So I think it's better to, as a practice owner, which I'm not, but as a practice owner, it's how I look at my team on the vendor side as well. If I take care of the team, like I said, they're going to take care of the patients in the community that we work in, versus thinking that the patients are my number one customer. It's just a different way of looking at things. And like I said, my approach kind of changed a little bit. We talked about this before, but I heard an interview with, you know, the head real estate guy from Burger King. And that's what he talked about, was they interviewed him in my day, in your day, Burger King and McDonald's were the king. And Burger King was always on McDonald's heel. And they asked the head real estate guy, you know, the David Goliath story, how'd you stay on their heels all that time? I mean, you guys never surpassed them, but you were right there all the time. And the guy said, well, I guess I'm retired now. I guess I can tell you the truth. We did nothing. And the interviewer is like, what do you mean he did nothing? He's like, I just told my team, have a good life, relax, let McDonald's spend all their time, all their money, all their research. They're going to find the best sites. All we have to do is get as close to them as we can. Let them do all that. As soon as you hear them buying a spot, buy across the street on the corner, whatever. And like he said, they're going to head south to go to work. They're going to get them for breakfast. They got to return home at some point. So they got to head back north to get home. We'll get them for dinner. And it kind of opens your eyes of, there's enough business out there for everybody. You need to figure out what's your vision, what's your mission, what's your plan, what type of business do you want to build, and then stay true to that and live that and include your team in that of what we're trying to build. You know, everyone's fearful of letting your team know that I want to sell my practice. Well, if you start out the right way from the very beginning and say, I'm trying to build something that's going to be here long after I'm gone, what I'd like to do is partner with you guys and do that. And that's why you see the very successful practices are, and the ones that aren't as successful. And a lot of it is realizing that. That's why there's a dentist on every corner. It's also why there's a Shell and Amoco on every corner. It's why there's a McDonald's on every corner. There's enough business for everybody, and nobody can handle all that business even if they wanted it. No practice could handle every single patient in the world, nor would you probably want that. Like I said, some aren't going to fit what your vision and mission is and what you're trying to build as a practice. Some patients may not be great for you, but the good thing is, how do you embrace abundance and realize that patient's not a good fit for me, but they might be a great fit for the dentist across the street? And I think, you know, dentistry is tough. People don't want to go to the dentist. We know prior to COVID, 40% didn't go. It's probably close to 60% don't go to the dentist now. Of the people who have dental insurance, half of those individuals don't even use it every year. There's no such thing as dental insurance. It's a coupon. It's a subsidy. There's nothing to insure. You're going to use it every single time you walk in. But I think the more you can realize that that patient might be a great fit somewhere else. Well, let them seek excellence elsewhere. They're going to vote with their feet anyway. If they're not happy, they're going to go find that. But I think it opens up the idea and the concept of the overall goal for the industry should be, how do we get patients to realize that oral health is part of overall health? And the more they come to the dentist, the better off they're going to be. They probably see their hygienist more than they see their primary care physician. They probably see their dentist more than they see their primary care physician. But how do we get them to embrace that? And how do we all get together to realize that not only moves the industry together and forward, but it also makes patients' lives extremely more valuable?
Yeah, I really love that. And you're right. There is a dental home for everyone. And I think I said this even recently in another episode, but that saying where the grass isn't greener on the other side, the grass is greener where you water it. And it's so silly, but it's so true. And it just means, like, focus on your own plot of land, your own little area, and just really, really focus on how to make that the best you can conceive of it being, versus looking outside yourself, outside your business, comparing yourself and trying to be like everybody else. It just never works, and it's just a chronic distraction. And I think, like we've been saying, now more than ever, there's just so much noise out there. It makes it really hard to focus. And I think that's why even having coaches and mentors and things like that have been really valuable to me, because it's a consistent mirror, you know, for me to have that person just continuously mirroring to me, like, this is what you want, right? Or have you changed your mind? Or, hey, this is what you're setting out to do. This is what you need to stay focused on. And even, you know, speaking of sports, I mean, the best athletes in the world have the best coaches and the best trainers and the best support team to keep them focused. You know, like LeBron James is probably, you know, one of the best there ever was. And he's got an entire community of people that help keep him straight, you know, and have him not sabotage himself with all of his success. So I think that's so critical, too, is building that in so that you can stay focused on what it is you want. And then also finding what is it that you want? Because a lot of people come out and they start running a business and they're just trying to keep it together and they haven't done the inner work of, what are we looking to create here? What is the vision? You know, what are we building into? A lot of people are just taking it day by day and by the seat of their pants, and it shows, right? Because they're constantly changing decisions, directions. They don't know how to build their team out. They don't know how to set their team up for success. And people end up suffering if they don't have that visionary. But the visionary needs to do work to figure out what the heck the vision is and where everybody's going, right? So I think that's really important too. Okay, so talk to me about water and why this is so important in the dental offices. What is the deal? And no one talks about it. So please bring it to our attention, the issues around safe water.
Well, I think you touched on it in the beginning when you said it's kind of the dirty secret in dentistry. And you know, water is the number one instrument used in dentistry. And people just don't think about that. I know a lot of people I talk to just don't think about it. I mean, you could have 1,000 patients sitting in the waiting room. And, you know, if you don't have a compressor and a vacuum and water, there's nothing you can do with those patients. So, you know, a lot of it is more the compliance, more the insurance, kind of the protection side of things. But, you know, the way we look at things right now in the U.S., it's probably about 70% of offices don't test, shock, and treat their water lines. They just hope the water that's coming into the practice is good and is healthy. And, you know, you think about the most famous case is the Anaheim case, where they stopped counting at some point, but it was probably 400 to 600 kids were impacted, you know, with pulpotomies, and it was contaminated water that were used on those. So, you know, that's part of what we're trying to build, is the most comprehensive end-to-end water solution organization that's out there. Nobody does what we do and touches every single piece of water coming into the practice, through the practice, more importantly, through the patient, and then exiting the practice. We're very strong at exiting the practice. Solmedics has been around for over 25 years on amalgam capture, which is great for the environment. Dentistry is the number one pollutant of amalgam to the waterways and the earth of any other profession outside of major, you know, factory use, which is being cleaned up as well. We're trying to help clean up the dental side. But now water coming in and through the patient has become a lot more thing. You know, the state of Washington was the first to pass laws that talked about testing water to make sure it's appropriate for patients. Dr. Resnick has done a lot of work in Georgia, bringing Georgia on now to pass those laws. You know, Maryland and California are looking at it. I think a lot of times patients think the water coming in and the water going into them is great. Every clinician almost always tells you to, you know, close your mouth on the suction, which if they didn't clean those lines before, you're getting a little backflow from the patient before you, which is not a great thing, especially depending on the procedure that was performed. But the more you clean your lines, the more you make sure you have appropriate water, the better off everybody is. And, you know, even one of our other companies, which we, you know, start out with Solmedics, which is primarily amalgam capture and vacuum line cleaners. We then introduced Stericell into our portfolio, which is water testing, water treatment, and water testing. And then we brought on a company called Dry Shield, which is isolation dentistry, which, you know, is a great thing. You know, during staffing shortages, if you have the appropriate amount of assistants, it's an incredible thing because you now can practice that assistant and dentist, true four-handed dentistry, and really make practices more efficient and faster. But unfortunately, if you don't have enough assistants, it now allows a clinician to do two-handed dentistry and still perform a high-ticket item because now it's a device you insert in the mouth. You don't have to worry about the suction. The assistant or the doctor doesn't have to worry about the patient using a bite block in regards to, you know, the cheek, the tongue, and everything else going on. But the most interesting thing that came out of COVID was, prior to COVID, we thought all the aerosols came out of the patient. So we were always afraid of the patient that was in our chair. What we've now realized after a lot of studies being done during COVID is those aerosols are actually coming out of the dental unit water lines. 70% not testing, shocking, and treating their water lines. We've now realized why dentistry has a huge rate of eye infection, ear infection, nasal infection, upper respiratory infection, because you have teams sitting there of assistants, hygienists, doctors breathe that in all day long, every week, every day, every year. So we're able to capture 96% of those aerosols to keep the team safer, let alone the production and everything. So and then the other fourth arm of our business is Implident, where we really work with socket preservation for implant dentistry. But where the tie comes into that nicely is a lot of times, back to the Anaheim case, you're doing pulpotomies with infected water. Well, if you take care of that water, that would be a great thing for those patients. They wouldn't have had issues with those pulpotomies. We do extractions for socket preservation. We sell a phenomenal product in Osteogen that grows back bone better than any other product on the market. But what we also tie into is you need to make sure you're using appropriate water during that extraction. For major surgical cases, you're using saline, you have separate operatories, all that. I had that in my ophthalmology career in surgical. I have that now in dentistry. But most of those procedures are being done in a regular operatory. With unfortunately 70% of the time, you better hope when you're having that extraction or that pulpotomy, you're in the 30% that are actually making sure their water is clean and effective, because that's opening up not just the oral cavity, that's also opening up to the bloodstream, because we're now introducing that to the body, and that's where you can see infection and things take place very fast. So, you know, we take this very seriously, and that's what we're hoping to do is how do we change that in the industry? Like I said, with 60% not going to the dentist, the last thing we want to do is go out and scream that from the rooftops that 70% of offices don't test, shock, and treat their water lines. We don't want to see that number go to 80%, 90%. We want to see dentistry coming together as a whole. And how do we get that 60 back to 40? And more importantly, how do we get that down to 30 to 20? How do we get people to come to the dentist more frequently? And we talked about that earlier today. You know, that's the beauty of dentistry. You either show up every 3, 6, 9, 12 months, however your regimen works, and you pay a little bit, or you show up every 5, 10, or 15 years and you pay a lot. And it's not just financial. There's a lot more pain and suffering when you come every 15 years because you're breaking down. But I think that's where I see the evolution, as with the very first question talked about. I definitely see dentistry finally starting to shift. Instead of being more of an engineer and working with our hands and fixing broken things, we're finally starting to turn the corner of realizing that it's all about prevention. You're seeing that in medicine. Prevention's the key. You're starting to see that in dentistry. With AI, it opens it up. Products from like Curadont from Vivartis is opening up that prevention aspect of how do we make sure patients don't get to the point where they're starting to lose natural dentition or need to have a cavity drilled out. That's not a great thing for a patient. The more they can keep their natural tooth structure, the better off they're going to be. And I think patients are changing now that they want to go to the grave with their teeth, not with dentures or other things. And I think that's the thing we don't talk and share enough about is my mom, my grandma, my grandma's grandma always had dentures. It's just in our family. It's what we're going to do. What we don't talk about is grandma and grandpa never slept in the same room because grandma never wanted to see grandpa. Grandpa never wanted to see grandma without her teeth. So it was something they did. Grandpa never went to his favorite steakhouse anymore because he was afraid his upper was going to fall on the table. People don't talk about what it's like to live with your teeth in a glass next to you when you're sleeping and just praying that a fire doesn't happen and the fireman's going to come in and see grandma without teeth. That's what we don't talk about. But the more we share those things and the more we get to preventative dentistry, the better off everyone's going to be, not just in the oral cavity, but once again, in the overall health of the patients.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. That was so much. It was so good. And I guess I'm sitting here thinking, what has offices not having the care of their water as a top priority? Like just something that is a monthly item that they take care of. Where did we go wrong in not having that be such a critical part of office maintenance?
I think a portion of it is we don't know. And I think a portion of it is, you know, we do know, we're just looking the other way. You and I both know it's a lot easier to sign the back of a check than the front of a check. So when you're building out a compliance program, you know, that's a lot of the conversation we have. You know, what is your gambling appetite? I mean, there are things you should do that you know you should do, but there are ways to look the other way and skate through that. That's a large portion of it. But I also think, you know, a lot of what we deal with is sometimes back in a mechanical room, or it's lines running through the practice that we don't know. It's not always about the water going into your practice. It's also small little tubes and lining and that travel throughout the practice that are breeding grounds for bacteria, biofilm, all that. And if you don't take care of that, it's an extra step. It's like anything. You know, I know I should probably clean my lines in between patients, but we're already backed up and we're 30 minutes behind. If it was your mom going into that chair next, or your child going in that chair next, you probably would do it. But we get caught up in the day, we get caught up in the time, and we just kind of look the other way. So a lot of it's, what is your gambling appetite for our compliance program? And that's a lot of what we spend time with, of realizing that what is a custom protocol that's going to work for you so your teams can do what they need to do, whether that's, you know, testing the water. If you don't test the water, you don't really know what you have. Some says don't test their water. They just hope it's good. If you're not shocking your lines, it's like a pool. I mean, nobody would go swimming in a pool that was never shocked. It's going to look green. It's going to look a little funky. And you think you're swimming with Shrek, and that's really not a good thing. And then what are you doing to maintain that? Are you putting a low antimicrobial in to hold off till the next shock takes place? It's just things we don't think about. And it's, you know, it's kind of how I end a lot of my conversations with people is, you know, I've done a service for you today and a disservice, because, you know, the services, we've now educated you. The disservices, you no longer can say, I didn't know. And it's kind of the old thing I've always thought about is, you know, five frogs are sitting on a log and, you know, three decided to jump. How many are left? Most people are going to say two, but deciding to jump and jumping are two different things. So you have to know what you want to do. You have to decide to do that. And then you got to take action. So a lot of it's just getting back to the basics. And, you know, time is money, and, you know, dentistry is a small business that makes money. And that's what it's there for. It's there to put patients through our operatory to make money, but also give them care. So a lot of times we'll skip steps, but what we should be doing, just to make sure that revenues continue to flow through. It's kind of what you talked about. You know, sometimes ego gets in the way, greed gets in the way, versus doing what is the right thing to build a long-term sustainable business, you know, and not playing the short game. You want to always play the long game.
Yeah. Are there consequences? Like, so if a patient gets sick or gets some kind of infection and they come and find out that your water lines are dirty and they, you know, didn't pass, are there big consequences for the dental office as far as fines or anything like that, that people should be aware of?
Yeah, there's definitely consequences. You know, that's the other thing we talked about, you know, with, you know, technology and where things are and AR, all that. You know, 20 years ago, municipalities couldn't trace back where the fraction happened. Now they can. There's a lot more technology where they can figure out things and where things take place. Like I said, if you're not testing, you don't know. So, you know, certain states have different laws. I think we're going to see that come more to play. There are federal laws of why you have to capture amalgam, because we want to protect the environment for the next generation. We want to protect the waterways for the next generation. People don't realize that, you know, like Lake Michigan doesn't take, it's a teaspoon of amalgam can infect that whole lake. People don't realize what the impact of that is. Well, same thing here. I get calls and have conversation with M&A advisors, you know, because they're looking at two things, you know, has there been a cyber attack? Well, that's a federal thing. You have to report that. You know, some of the large dental companies that had cyber attacks recently didn't want to report it. They had to. On the water side, it's not as clear cut. Most are settled out of court. Your attorneys are going to tell you to get to court as fast as you can and settle out of court. You're probably not going to win this battle. And nobody wants to get up in front of a judge or a jury and say, we took a couple short steps. We were hoping the municipality gave us great water. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out. So what they tell you is to settle fast. But that's the thing where a lot of M&A advisors ask me, you know, like I said, if it's a cyber attack, well, they can find that information pretty fast. If it's a water outbreak, it's a lot harder to find because most of those are going to settle out of court. What a lot of the attorneys in the space tell me is it's usually about $80,000 per incident per patient, which obviously that can add up pretty fast. And if a lawyer catches wind of that, there's going to be a class action lawsuit. And you got to think, you know, if Brandy's Dental sells to Steve's Dental, well, the last thing I want to do is be involved in a class action lawsuit when I wasn't even involved in it in the first place, because no one's going to remember that happened during Brandy's Dental. They're just going to remember that happened during Steve's Dental. And if I'm a patient, I probably don't want to go there. So that's why they're going to advise them to do that. It's not a scare tactic we like to play. It really comes down to doing the right thing for your patients, thinking as if I'm sitting in that chair, or my child or my mom or my grandpa is sitting in that chair, what would you do? And you probably wouldn't skip the shortcut. You probably wouldn't worry as much about the cost of what it costs to stay compliant and do what you need to do. But it's the golden rule, you know, treat everybody how you'd want to be treated in your practice. But like you talked about, you know, it's a small business. It's not easy. And if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And they're, you know, at times they're just trying to get by and do what they need to do. So it definitely impacts patients. You know, the Anaheim case touched on, I mean, you know, there's patients that, you know, lost teeth, they lost jawbone. They're going to be on antibiotics for life. It's going to shorten their life. We don't want to see that ever happen again. And that's why you saw Washington, you saw Georgia take action on that, because they've had too many outbreaks in their practice. And sometimes people are doing the right things. You know, in one of the cases, you know, somebody was, they were shocking and treating their water lines. Unfortunately, they weren't testing. And how the story I've been told goes from a consultant was, you know, a construction company was working outside the practice and nicked a pipe. Well, if you have dirty water and dirt and debris and everything flowing in that pipe, well, it's impossible for shock and maintenance to keep that up. But if they would have tested their water, they would have known that something's not right. Something needs to be changed. Unfortunately, after the fact, it was found out. When patients started presenting that we need to look at something, they were able to find out there was a cracked pipe bringing the water into the practice. But if you were testing, you would have known that. And like I said, I tell people all the time, if you don't test, you don't know.
Yeah. Wow. Woo. Yes. Yeah. And I'm just thinking of all the other things in a practice that get overlooked, you know, that people just take for granted and just assume things are being handled. So I think for anybody that's listening, even if you're not a practice owner, but a team member or a coach or advisor or something, you know, ask your practices if they're taking care of their water systems. Just bring it up, you know, start raising awareness around it, because it sounds like it's something that definitely needs to be talked about more and more. And you're right, they have moved from those little, you know, suction devices versus when we were younger, we used to get a little Dixie cup of water and, you know, spit into the little fan. But yeah, when you're doing the suction device, I mean, your tongue is getting right in there, you know, just trying to get it all down that little suction device. So it's definitely higher touch point, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're touching on the team members. I mean, a lot of the incidents that happen are a disgruntled team member that's no longer at the practice that turns them in and let them know they're not doing things that they should be doing, or even doing things in the wrong order. You know, we believe that you should test your water first, then shock, then maintain the water. But there are companies out there that tell people to shock first, then test, which is kind of like getting the answers before you went to get your test taken for anything. Because obviously, if you shock the lines and test, you're going to pass. 5 days from now, you may not pass. But when you took the test, you passed. So the order you do things truly does matter. And people know the way to do it. But like I said, it's a small business, and we're designed to have operatories open, making money, not shut down because it has contaminated water in it.
Right. Well, gosh, Steve, thank you so much. And this time flew by, honestly. This went really fast for me. So we'll have to have you back on and talk some more about this. But I really appreciate your perspective. I always love talking to folks like you that have been around for a bit. You've seen so much over the years and very informative when it comes to water systems. So I really hope folks check you out and investigate their water lines and take pride in how we're treating our patients and the level of care. And not just the patients, but like you said, team members as well. And the environment too, all goes into it. And yeah, I always like the saying from way back in the day, when environmentalism was getting a little more trendy, you know, in the early 2000s, but, you know, think local or think global, act local. So I always like that saying, just, and I approach that in every area of my life, but it's, you know, thinking of the global, you know, context, but do the best you can in what's right in front of you to make the biggest impact. And so I heard that a lot in what you were sharing today. So thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me. Like I said, I agree with what you just stated, because, you know, like I said, from Cameron Harrell's perspective, we're all just walking each other home. So why not make the environment the best it can be and just enjoy people? I'm a big believer. It's not about the dates on the front and the end of the tombstone. It's about the dash in the middle. It's about living life the best way you can, meeting a lot of great people out there. Like I said, I believe it's the greatest time to be in dentistry. You and I have formed a connection, and it's great to talk to people like yourself. I appreciate the podcast that you have. I've listened to every single episode now. I'm a podcast junkie. And I think you put a lot of great vibes out there, and you put a lot of great information out there. And another way to look and think about not just the practice, what we do, but also our life. So I appreciate you as well.
You just listened to the Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.